Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
April 15, 2014 marks the first anniversary of the Boston Marathon bombing, when the city, its people, and its marathon were changed forever. An historic race brought to a halt for the first time since its debut in 1897, the largest crime scene in Boston's history, an epic manhunt for the Tsarnaev brothers, an entire city on lockdown. The events of that week gripped the nation as they unfolded, yet nowhere has the full multi-layered story been told. Enter Boston Globe reporters Scott Hellman and Jenna Russell, who have written the new book Long Mile Home, Boston Under Attack, The City's Courageous Recovery, and The Epic Hunt for Justice. It is a great pleasure to welcome both Scott Hellman and Jenna Russell to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
So, Scott, let us begin with you looking at this story. I think one of the things that surprised me in reading the book is what we can forget in a year, ultimately, and also that it puts it into an amazing context of, you know, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
I think that's right. I think one of the values of a project like this is to be able to step back and tell the full story in a way that, you know, we all know in a sense because we all lived it and we followed every twist and turn that week. But we don't really know it because we haven't been able to step back and take it as a whole and especially to see it in a deep way through the eyes of some of the people that really lived it and were closest to the tragedy. And that's what we really tried to do with the book, because it's such a massive story, so many different layers, so many different, you know, narratives within even that week, let alone the aftermath, that we wanted to give people something that they could really grab onto. And that's why we choose to write the book from the perspective of these five principal characters, a cop, a doctor, the race director, one of the spectators who unfortunately lost her leg, and then one of the women who was killed.
Jenna, how did you originally come to the story? What were you covering that day?
I was actually out of the office that day working, writing a story in a coffee shop, and started to hear some unnerving things going on around me, people looking at their laptops and comforting each other, and got a bad feeling in the pit of my stomach and went to Boston.com and started to see these fragmented reports coming in from the finish line. And I knew then that this was going to be a huge story and that it was going to require everything we had as reporters. And so right away I started to try and prepare myself for that. And that is, of course, exactly what it became.
And Scott, similar for you?
In a sense, I mean, I was nowhere near the finish line. I was not even working that day. I was literally buying plants, I think, to plant in the yard because it was April, and it's, as you know, April break for Massachusetts schools. So I was nowhere near it, and similar story in the sense that I started to get these little drips on my smartphone and texts and calls from my wife, and I think realized very quickly the gravity of what had happened, though, of course, the fullness of that would not be clear for some time.
When you think about the fullness of it, I mean, it took quite a lot, quite a long time, and even to get a sense of what had happened, and it dragged on for so long, and that feeling that all of you in the city at that time were really going through the worst possible scenario, because you didn't know what was happening. And there was still terror at large.
That's right. It was incredibly unnerving. We were very focused on our work, of course, but at the same time, in the back of your mind, you're aware every second that you have somebody out there who has tried to kill people at the marathon, who is at large, as you say, and who knows if this person or people or group is planning more attacks. So I think there was good reason for people to feel fear. It was a very real feeling that people had. And it seemed at the time to take forever, in a sense, every hour that passed, and the public couldn't see the investigation and didn't know how that was progressing. Looking back now, it seems perhaps reasonable that it would take a little bit of time to find the break in the case that they needed, but that's ultimately what did happen.
Scott, you talk about telling the story through the lens of five principal characters. How did you choose these particular five?
Well, we knew, once we settled on the idea of doing that, we knew to people that we wanted to be represented. You know, we knew we wanted to have somebody who had had to have their leg amputated, because that was such a terrible part of the story. We wanted to try to capture what it felt like to lose somebody. You know, there were three people who were killed in the marathon. As you know, one person killed later on in the week. That was an important perspective for us, as was the perspective of a first responder, because they were so crucial that week. We wanted to capture the city's medical response, because I think everyone agrees that, you know, it's remarkable that the toll wasn't higher, and I think that's a big credit, in large part due to the incredible medical infrastructure we have in Boston. So we wanted that element of it. And then finally, and this is ultimately about race day, a very special day in Boston, has been for years and years, and nobody represents that more than Dave McGilvery, the race director, who is a legendary figure, not just in the running world, but I think in Boston. And so he made for a natural character as well. And our hope was that through those five perspectives, you would really get a sense of what this felt like, you know, day by day.
And Jenna, you wanted to follow them really throughout the day and throughout the week of what they went through?
That's right. So we actually start their stories before the marathon, so people can understand who they are and where they're coming from, what their marathon day is going to look like, and then trace their paths to this point where they all intersect, of course, on that fateful Monday afternoon, and then take them through the course of that dramatic week, of course, which is at the heart of the story, but also we wanted very much to take them beyond that, because of course the story didn't end, particularly for these people who were most affected. It didn't end that night in Watertown with the capture of Jahar Tsarnaev. It continues to this day. And so it was important to us to bring that dramatic arc further into the long road.
You mentioned David King, who is a trauma surgeon who ran and finished the marathon before the explosions and then obviously went right to the hospital and started to operate on victims for almost 12 hours after that. He was contacted by the President of the United States, who was trying to find out information about individual stories about those people who had been hurt and killed, right?
Right, right. And he, you know, Dr. King had served as an Army surgeon over in Iraq and Afghanistan. He had seen these types of injuries time and time again. He recognized them immediately. But he was, you know, as a surgeon, he was very focused on the job he had to do, which was trying to save people's legs and give them the best chance of survival. But when the White House asked him to take on this task of telling the president something more about who the people were, he was a little taken aback at first, but he did it. He went to talk to all of these victims and survivors, and it really changed him as he got to know them a little bit as people and came to understand that there was more to this than just the wounds that he was looking at in the operating room, that there were all these different lives who had been affected in all these different ways.
You get the idea, Scott, I mean, throughout this, and it is what happened, but that everyone just started to feel, which I guess was essentially the case, that they were being held hostage, that the city was being held hostage.
I think that's right. I think most people, if you ask them today, what do you remember about that week? Most people that I've talked to will tell you that Friday, that Friday that Jahar Tsarnaev, the younger suspect, was still at large. He had escaped after this, you know, tremendous firefight in Watertown, where he was. Nobody knew what his intentions were. Nobody knew, as Jenna said earlier, what the full scope of this was. I mean, it's easy now to see this kind of from a distance and say, well, there were these two brothers and they did this horrible thing. At the time, that wasn't clear. Were there two? Were there 10? Was this part of some larger, you know, terrorist plot that we were only just seeing the tip of? We didn't know. And I think you're right. I think everybody who lived in the area was, in a sense, a hostage that day. I mean, obviously, the suffering that you go through is nothing in comparison to the true suffering of the victims and families and so forth. But it was a remarkable day, just the stillness and the eeriness, and I think that is something that no one will soon forget.
Jenna, one of the things that struck me in the book is that, of course, you talk about the day and that week and what happened, but you also look at what has happened since then and the months that followed for many of these individuals as they dealt with the trauma and they dealt with the injuries.
Right, exactly right. And that was so important to our story. So we see, for example, Heather Abbott, who comes out of the hospital as an amputee, and we see her going home, learning to live on her own again, and learning to do all the things that she did before, because that was very much her commitment, was to get back to the life that she had had. And that included a lot of physical activity as a young, active person. So, and this, you know, it can look easy sometimes if you look at it quickly and you see these triumphant stories, these kind of blips. But when you take the time to stay with someone, you see them on their good days, but you also see them at their worst moments when everything seems well, but the next thing they know, they're on crutches on a slippery floor, and they fall, and they crash, and they find themselves on the ground right back where they started. And it's that kind of texture of the experience that we were able to capture in the book that I think gives added weight to the success that some of these people have had, because you understand what they had to get through to get there.
With 1 year that has passed, Scott, what do you hope ultimately through these stories, through these five individuals, and through the book that you hope readers take away?
I mean, this is, needless to say, one of the biggest stories to ever unfold in Boston. I mean, certainly up there with the biggest things that have ever happened here. And I think our mission was to really try to tell the full story in a deep way, in a contextual way, and in a respectful way. And in many ways, that's an extension of the work that we tried to do here at the Globe all the time and that our colleagues do every day. So we felt, I think, a responsibility to tell that story in the right way. And I'm hopeful that in the weeks and months to come, even though this story, there are many chapters left, you know, to be written, I'm hopeful that our account at least gives people a chance to look back and to really have an understanding, a full understanding of what their city went through and what they went through.
The book is Long Mile Home, Boston Under Attack, The City's Courageous Recovery and the Epic Hunt for Justice. It is published by Dutton. Scott Hellman and Jenna Russell, thank you very much for being with us. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book is Long Mile Home, published by Dutton. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.